Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for the 14th of May 2021. I'm joined by Carl, who's come back in from his holiday for a day, so we're going to have some fun. Although you're back on Tuesday as well, just for people who are wondering.
For that week. Then I'm away for another week. Then we're off later. I'll explain one day why I have such a complex holiday, but today is not the day.
So we're going to be talking about Biden's failing America, Scotland's descent into mob rule, and also why feminists believe that feminism has ruined dating. So I they're just saying it, so...
Yeah, if they're just going to come out and say it, then we're going to come out and talk about it.
Yeah, so without further ado, let's get into a little bit of shilling. Shilling's always nice. So we have a new article on lotuseaters.com from Beau Dade. I know a lot of people like Beau Dade. So this is the chap on the podcast, in case you're wondering what his name was, the bold chap. So he's written an article about Washington's Reichstag fire. So the storming of the Capitol that became the impetus for going after the MAGA movement, which... totally correct comparison. So go and give that a read. That's free on the podcast. Sorry, on the website. And also, we have a new article from Hugo going up. It should be up now, so 1 p.m. going up, so now, on Colombia and the protests going on there and the situation there going back, and to give you some context as well. A lot of people like Hugo's articles on Ethiopia, in which he was explaining what's going on there, and therefore he's done one on Colombia, and hopefully people will enjoy that. Is that premium or not?
Yeah,
that is premium.
So.
Okay.
It's like a six-page article. Hugo's degree is in international relations or something. So this is exactly his area of expertise. So he's written a really long, it's like, you know, six-page treatise on what's going on there. And I don't know anything about Colombia, so it's going to be an interesting read for me when I get the time to read it. But we're also going to be recording a premium podcast after this. It'll go up next week. And we've got another Epochs history podcast going up on Sunday about the journey of Pythias, because we covered Hanno's journey around to the south, around Africa, and now we're going to cover Pythias's journey around to the north, see how far up to the north he gets. It's really, really interesting. It's first-hand accounts.
Go see the old barbarians in Britain.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I won't spoil it, because it's a really good podcast, but that's going up, so worth becoming a premium subscriber.
Anyway, without further ado, let's get
right... let's
Oh, we have something else?
We do have something else. And I've put notes there as well. You just didn't read them.
Oh, we're hiring. Yes, forgot. So in case you are a content creator or a video producer, that's the kind of people we are looking to hire. So if you want to come and work here, that's what we're looking for. Conditions are that you have to work in the office, and you can find the jobs hopefully on lotuseaters.com/careers. Yeah. So go and check that out.
But we're looking for people who have some expertise, presumably preferably like a degree or direct experience or something. But obviously we want people who are, like, you know, motivated and who want to produce content and who want have something to say. But yeah, we're desperately looking for people because our success has outstripped our ability to hire, apparently. So do get in contact. But anyway, yeah.
Always good to make more content.
Yeah.
Without further ado, I'm not going to make the joke. Let's get into the news. So
you can't even not make the joke.
It's just too good. Anyway, tell me about why Biden's America is failing.
Yeah, so Biden's America is falling apart. And I think pretty much everyone can see it at this point, especially those people presumably living in it. It's actually quite amazing how quickly Biden's America is falling apart as well. Let's just start with jobs, right? So the job growth has been really, really disappointing. So estimates had been for around 1 million new jobs with an unemployment rate of below 6%. And what actually happened was only 266,000 jobs. So like a quarter of the jobs they were expecting were created, and unemployment's up to 6.1%. And so this has been quite shocking. But the thing is, the numbers are staggering, right? So the leisure and hospitality industry added the most jobs at 331,000. But the thing is, before the COVID pandemic and before the lockdowns happened, this still leaves them nearly 3 million jobs down. So this is a massive, massive hit to this industry, and they can't recover. I mean, Jason Furman, an economist at Harvard University and a former Obama administration advisor, says, I think this is about a shortage in labor supply, as it's about a shortage of labor demand. If you look at April, it appears there were 1.1 unemployed workers for every job opening. So there are a lot of jobs out there. There's just not a lot of labor supply. And Carlos Gatziwa, probably pronouncing that terribly. The president and CEO of Sergio's Restaurants in Southern California says, we've increased wages. We have about three different staffing agencies that are constantly looking for people. Other restaurateurs are walking around neighborhoods passing out flyers. But nobody's having the jobs. And the question is, why aren't people working?
Are they still handing out the checks?
They are still handing out the checks. That's exactly it. The US government is basically paying people not to work. We'll get to the next one, John. International Business Times reports, businesses across the US are struggling to fill jobs as fewer Americans apply after receiving a third round of stimulus checks. For one example that they cite is Robert Walker, the owner of family entertainment Apex Entertainment in Marlborough, Massachusetts, who said that some potential workers have called in to rescind their applications after getting the $1,400 stimulus checks from Biden's administration, from the American Rescue Plan. What rescue from what? Rescue them from prosperity.
Them from the government. The government's the one doing the shutdown.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But a lot of that is on local state level. So anyway. The IRS, of course, has got another wave of stimulus checks, so people know there's more money coming. And so they're just like, why would I bother? It's because you know this can't last, surely. So this is all part of Biden's, like, you know, nearly $2 trillion coronavirus relief plan. And the thing is, these payments, $1,400 a month, it also is on top of whatever the state unemployment benefits are. And so literally, they're getting hundreds, like $800 a week in Massachusetts. And it's like, God, why would you work if you had that amount of money coming into your bank account?
Well, if you're working in Massachusetts, you're being screwed.
Yeah, exactly. You're making more than $3,000 a month by doing nothing. I mean, this is ridiculous, right? And everyone, I think, knows in their gut that this is wrong, right? This is totally wrong. Looking at your bank account mysteriously filling up with money, you know you didn't earn that money. You know this money has just come out of nowhere, and there is going to be a price to pay. Something given has no value. There is always a price to pay. You know this is not going to last, and it really seems to be that Biden is essentially trying to bribe people with their own money, or at least mortgaging the future of their own money. And so, obviously, inflation is coming. In fact, I say inflation is coming. Inflation is already here, actually. Sorry, I've got an Asia Times link there, John, but I must have put it in there afterwards. But this is just a report from Asia Times. So the real US consumer price inflation is running about twice what the Federal Reserve expected. They expected a 2% inflation, and now it's at 4%. And everyone's like, oh God, how has this happened? This has happened because you printed trillions of dollars and then just sent it out to people. Makes the money less valuable. And I don't know why we have to explain the concept of value. I mean, I'm no economist, but after spending some time with Academic Agent and promoting his courses, use code LOTUS, it's very clear that supply and demand are the two contributing factors that create value. If you have excess supply, then value goes down. Anyway, this is the point. The inflation is skyrocketing. And the Biden administration, I can't remember the names of the individual cabinet members who said this, but there's just been this general theme of, well, we don't expect inflation. We don't see why there would be inflation. And it's like, yeah, but how could you be so disconnected to basic economic theory as to not know that this is going to be the case? Like, they're just like, oh, we'll just produce money and we won't expect the inflation. And it seems they've got this kind of attitude where it's just like, well, if we just deny it, then what? Then it won't happen? It's going to happen. This is reality. You guys are lunatics.
I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, there's one way inflation is made, and it's printing money. And when printer goes burr for what is it, like 2 years now?
This is what the libertarians have been saying for the last 2 years. And that's what the meme is about. It's just money printer goes burr. And it's like, everyone knows what happens there, right? It's not some unexplored region of economics to know how hyperinflation occurs. There are so many examples from the 20th century and the 21st century of hyperinflation being a massive problem. We've got real concrete examples. And so it's like, right, okay, so now what's happening? Well, inflation's going through the roof. Who could have predicted this? Apart from everyone.
I just see the chat as like, guys, that isn't real inflation. Real inflation's never been tried.
Exactly. Right, and so this is bad, and this is also going to cause a bubble in home prices, apparently, house prices. But the thing is, there's a delay on this bubble, and so this is going to happen in like 2022, where the price of houses is going to go up and then pop. So another 2008, basically.
Okay, delay buying a house then.
Yeah, well, in America anyway. I mean,
yeah, but it'll affect
it's,
here, sure.
Yeah, it's gonna be the same here because we printed loads of money too. But thankfully, we printed less money. But anyway, so this is Joe Biden actively screwing the US economy. And I think it's important to note that inflation, like this, is in fact a tax on the poor. It is the average everyday person who really bears the biggest burden when the price of milk and bread and, well, not bread, obviously. People shouldn't be eating bread. but when the price of, you know, like, you know, normal consumer goods goes up in, you know, food and the necessaries of life goes up, it's the poor people that suffer. And that makes them even more dependent on the government handouts. So it's almost like Joe Biden's administration is deliberately crafting a situation where millions of people are totally dependent on the government for survival, for their day-to-day survival. Joe Biden is making this the case. This is not wise. This is not prudent. You know, anyone who was like, right, I want a really healthy country, the healthy economy, or productivity, would do the opposite of what Joe Biden is doing right now. And in fact, this all speaks to a giant ideological push. Because you've got a few months ago, back in January, where Biden killed the Keystone XL pipeline. This was the first, pretty much one of the first things he did, goes in there, cancels this. Now, that's America's fuel supply that he's talking about here. Kills 11,000 jobs immediately, and then another like 40 to 80,000 jobs that were relying on those 11,000 jobs, like the service of them. And it's a step towards reversing America's energy independence, which famously Donald Trump touted as America being energy independent, which is a desirable thing for any country.
Yeah, I mean, probably one of the greatest achievements of his presidency and the greatest achievement a president could get to.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, like, I don't know why. you have to really invoke conquest third law here, which is the behavior of any bureaucratic organization can be explained if you assume it's been taken over by a cabal of its enemies, right? The United States as a country, it's a bureaucratic organization, and it appears to have been taken over by a cabal of people who are trying to destroy it. Like, these people are actively, deliberately doing damage. Anyway, so we get to the point where Joe Biden's administration has been persecuting the oil industry, and now you have a fuel shortage. This fuel shortage was, of course, caused by the hacking of the Colonial Pipeline. And this was something that happens, I guess, by apparently a group of Eastern European hackers, who you have nice things to say about, but I don't.
Like, I did say I had nice things. I just thought it was cute that they had a code of ethics, which they were like, yeah, we only hack things for money, not anything that would, you know, harm healthcare or something.
The hacking itself is the moral wrong.
I know, but it's like they the can pirates.
Have all they can have all the codes of ethics. Hang the pirates.
I'm not saying it's good, obviously, but it's just, I find it weird that they bother. It's like, you're already doing evil things. Why pretend?
I'm sorry. I was watching Pirates of the Caribbean, and I was like, good, hang them all. You know?
But I did see the best comment I saw on our video about this was it's called the Colonial Pipeline. So, I mean, there's only one group responsible. It has to be the British, surely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were responsible for prosperity. That's right. And this is us coming back and explaining to you why you're all wrong. But anyway, so this, of course, caused massive problems. So Joe Biden was like, hey, please stop panic buying gas, and it's making the problem worse. He says, number one, don't panic. I know seeing lines at the pumps or gas stations with no gas can be extremely stressful, but this is a temporary situation. Do not get more gas than you need in the next few days. Gasoline supply is coming back online. Panic buying will only slow the process. Now, if there's one phrase that summarizes a successful presidency, gasoline supply is coming back online is not it. That's not it. That is a metric of how you failed. I was going to say something worse there, but, you know, you really failed. This didn't happen under Trump, did it? You've gone literally in the space of like 6 months from complete energy independence to gasoline supply is coming back online. Joe Biden. This is Biden's administration that has done this, right? And then, of course, he turns to the gas companies, the petrol stations themselves, and it's like, oi, don't price gouge, don't take advantage of the customers, you know, following the attack. That's what the hackers are trying to do. I also want the gas stations to, you know, make sure they're not using the situation for financial gain. You know, that's not what we're about. It's like, okay, well, why don't you just pay them a ransom or something, which is what they did with the hackers to the Colonial Pipeline, who, if we can get to the next one, they paid nearly $5 million to these hackers. So crime pays. Here you go. Here's your reward. Why don't you drone strike the hackers?
Well, they're in Russia, so.
So what?
That would be declaring war on Russia.
No. Well, then you can let's treat this like Russia declaring war on the United States. But this is unreal, right? So a government should never be paying ransoms, right? They should not be paying ransoms because don't squeeze your face, because I'm telling you, there are so many historical precedents of when this happens and this never ends well. it never ends well, because paying ransoms is a show of weakness. And this shows absolutely everyone else and their mother going, ooh, the United States is strong, and then they're starting paying off ransoms. Well, why wouldn't they pay ransoms to us? This happened with the Romans and the Germans. This happened with the English and the Vikings. This happens with the Byzantines and all of the other, like, you know, the steppe nomads and all of these. Paying ransoms is a sign of weakness, and it means you're going to fail. There's no question about it.
I agree that it's not ideal, but I think what you do in response to that situation is also interesting. So take example, what is it, like Caesar, his ransom was paid, and then he went down and hunted down the pirates who kidnapped him and killed them all.
Sure.
I mean, that's how you rectify that, although the ransom paying is not great.
Sure. It depends. So now Biden is obligated to hunt down these hackers and hang them.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, crucify them. Specifically crucify them.
If he's following Caesar.
If he's following Caesar and he wants a positive outcome from this. Otherwise, there's going to be more hacking and there's going to be more ransom paid and it will never end. This is disgraceful. They should not have paid this. They should have engaged diplomatic relations with whichever country these hackers are in and got them to literally go down and break down the door and drag them out by the fucking hair and put them up to trial. You know, you've just ruined the economy and the lives of like a bunch of people all across the Eastern Seaboard in the United States. This is unacceptable. This is totally unacceptable.
It's not like the Kremlin couldn't, if they want to, go down and find these guys.
Oh, what, they're going to be like, oh no, the civil rights. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, like you're risking, you know, international war.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, this is unbelievable, the disruption this has caused. Honestly, it's an insane maneuver by these hackers, which just suddenly puts them front and center on the radar of a person who essentially is becoming a fascist dictator. And I'm not even joking when I say that, and I don't think that's overstating the case. Let's go for the next one, right? So this is insane, which Joe Biden essentially is controlling the media and the media reporting on him. Now, if there's some fascist dictatorship 101 is this. It is making sure the media does and reports exactly what you say. So as reported by the New York Post, they say, the White House is demanding that reporters who conduct interviews with the administration officials do so under conditions known as background with quote approval. The White House reporters are apparently seething over this policy, which requires them to submit quotes from interviews with the Biden administration officials to the communications team for approval, editing, or veto. So Biden's administration is demanding and apparently getting full editorial powers over the US media that deals with them. That is insane. That's not a free press. That's not what a free country does. This is what a dictator does. The information in the interview can be used in a story, but the reporter is unable to attach a name to the quote and must transcribe the comments and send them to the communications team. At that point, the White House can approve them, edit them, or veto their use. Unacceptable. Trump never did anything like this. Trump, Trump's a dictator and he's going to intimidate the media. No, this is what it looks like.
I remember that they used to claim all the time Trump's cracking down on the First Amendment. He's not wanting to talk to media.
He did
like,
nothing.
The best thing they had was like, I think it was Jim Acosta when he was holding the mic and refusing to let go. He was like, right, I'm just going to kick you out then because you're just being disruptive to the whole press conference.
Sure.
And they're like, no, you're cracking down on free speech. And he was like, look, if you're a journalist, like if your journalism entirely depends on access, You're not a journalist.
Yeah.
You should be able to run the stories being outside of the
tent. Absolutely. I mean, everyone else does. Mm. Everyone outside of this particular
like,
little
you have
bubble.
No right to be in this press conference here.
No. But
to turn around and then be like, not only that, we're also going to demand that you give us quotes beforehand.
No, not even that. We demand that you give us your editorial powers, and we will make the decisions on what you can publish. Unreal, right? This is Trump never did anything like this, and I mean, I would have obviously said the same thing that I'm saying now if he'd done something like this. But that's the point. Trump never did anything. Trump would go out and tweet mean things, which is fine. That's, you know, completely the ideal of freedom, actually. Being able to say whatever the hell you like and have millions of people hear it. But anyway, this exercise is a carryover from their presidential campaign because this is exactly what they did in the presidential campaign, is curate all of the media to curate a specific kind of image. And we'll get back into the image curation a little bit because I want to talk about just the way that Biden approaches politics, right? It's the way that he does things. So the next thing was that vaccinated Americans now apparently don't need a mask, according to the CDC, which is great. not even sure if they needed a mask originally, to be honest, but let's just assume they did. So Biden calls it a great day. Oh, a great day. Thank you, dear leader. It's a great day. Today is a great day for America and our long battle with the coronavirus. Doesn't this just sound like Mussolini talking about, like, the invasion of Ethiopia or something? You know, today's a great day. The Italian nation has conquered. This is what he said. Like, he's like, the dear leader has delivered us a victory. Oh, thank goodness. Right, so he says, you know, if you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask. Let me repeat. If you're fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask. Okay. Thanks for that information.
Is this even news?
No.
Like, surely the whole point of the vaccine was it's meant to work.
Obviously. And apparently, according to the studies, they do. So, great. Right. But this, the way he's framing it here, the way, you know, is fine. Anyone who's fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing. If you're fully vaccinated, you can start doing the things you'd stop doing because of the pandemic. Okay, that's not badly framed, right? It's a bit weird, but okay, given the current context of how the coronavirus has kind of warped everyone's minds about where power and authority lie, fine. But then you get this tweet, and this tweet is still up, and my God, I can't get over it, right? The rule is now simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours. This is not the language of a democratic leader. This is the language of a dictator. This is a Mussolini telling you what it is.
Is that a threat?
Exactly.
Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours. And what if I don't?
Well, that's the point, isn't it?
Then what?
Do you want to find out? I think he'll ante up.
Implicit in the statement. I mean, or else. Else what? I will use violence.
Exactly.
That has to be what he's saying.
The choice is yours. And when you choose violence, he won't have to feel guilty about it. You chose. This is not the language of a democratic leader. And we know that Biden's actually incredibly high-strung and weird because there's been a New York Times article that was published probably a few days ago. That is very interesting and very critical about Biden. And this has obviously come from a reporter who's been able to get on the inside and has actually said something that is not just genuflecting praise of the dear leader, which is surprising. So anyway, I'm going to read a bit from this because this is important. I realize I'm going on quite a lot with this segment, but I've been here for ages. Shut up. Quick decision-making is not Biden's style. His reputation as a plain-speaking politician hides a more complex truth. Before making up his mind, the president demands hours of detail-laden debate from scores of policy experts. Those trips are often difficult for his advisors, who are peppered with sometimes obscure questions. Avoiding Mr. Biden's ire during one of his decision-making seminars means not only going beyond vague talking points that he will reject, but also steering the responses laced with acronyms or too much policy minutia, which will prompt an outburst of frustration, often laced with profanity. Let's talk plain English here. He will often snap. Interviews with more than 24 current and former Biden associates provide an early look into how Biden operates as a president, how he deliberates, whom he consults, and what emerges is a portrait of a president with a short fuse who is obsessed with getting the details right, sometimes to a fault when he angered allies and adversaries alike by repeatedly delaying a decision on whether to allow more refugees in the United States. Those closest to Biden say he is unwilling or unable to skip his routine. As a longtime advisor put it, he needs time to process the material so he feels comfortable selling it to the public. For as much as Biden projects an aura of unease with his frequent backslapping references to Irish poetry and liberal use of the phrase, come on, man, his aides say it takes a lot of behind-the-scenes work to prepare him to project such an assured demeanor. Biden is gripped by a sense of urgency that leaves him prone to flares of impatience, according to numerous people who regularly interact with him. This sounds to me like the theatrical presentation of a fascist.
I can't get over. Don't worry. It takes loads of prep work, and we have to prep him up. So
and
he's
this
so
is
good.
How good he is.
And then they're even saying, "Yeah," and as a response, he's still terrible on stage, like complete kerfuffle of a man.
He is, but it's the same principles that apply. Because one of the things that you could tell with Trump is there was absolutely no preparation with the optics of the thing, right? Unlike, and this is what we did in the book club on the Dictator's Handbook, Frank Dakota's Dictator, where the whole point is it's a big theater play to make people buy into a certain narrative and a certain kind of view of the dear leader, that he's confident, calm, always at his ease, always in command. And as you can see with Biden, that is what he's trying to project. We're the competent, we're the scientists in control, we've got all the experts on our side. Come on, man, this is going to be easy. But behind the scenes, it's insane and pathological attention to what appear to be like irrelevant details in some cases, unusual, weird questions, and a lot of time spent like building himself up for the performance. Honestly, sounds a lot like Mussolini's attitude to me. I just keep hearing it out of these kind of reports. And the sense of urgency kind of indicates a sense of illegitimacy. Why would you need to feel so urgent and so controlling about all of these pieces of minutiae if you didn't feel that there was something wrong? And judging by the fact that Joe Biden has screwed up everything, and this is not even to bring into other problems, like the migrant crisis that he caused at the border and things like this. Like this is just like the most immediate things that are going on right now, all of which are a consequence of Biden's policies, all of which are attempting to remake the United States in a more sort of European way. And it seems to come from Biden's essentially fascist mindset. And the thing is, it's all going wrong because Biden himself is a mediocre man. A deeply mediocre man. You can look at his record of lying, basically, about his accomplishments, his education, the way he's built himself up over the years. It's all based on lies. The fact that his family is an absolute, you know, what's happened with Hunter Biden, his connections to China, all of this is built on lies. So Biden is standing at the top of a pyramid of lies, and he is not the brilliant man required to maintain this. And it's all starting to catch up with him. The pressure is building. You can see this is all about to explode. And I say you can see this is all about to explode because apparently 124 retired officers and generals have said things about Biden that we actually can't say here. But they've written a letter to him in the style of the generals in France sending one to Macron saying, things aren't good, you're to blame, we are connected to the military, be careful. That's the underlying message. They didn't say that explicitly, but it's the underlying message. And I'm telling you, it's all going badly.
God. And I just can't believe that it takes so much work. Like, they were trying to say that it takes work, we have to prep him to make sure that he's so on point on camera. And yet they even admit it's a complete mess.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Trump could barely be convinced to stay on the teleprompter. Because Trump knew what he wanted to say. He wasn't like, you know, the optics guy.
No.
And that's what made him great.
Literally,
yeah, it really
the,
was.
Oh, no, I was going to make a joke about screw your optics, but I'm not going to do that, one.
That's literally Trump's speech. I mean, the best bit about Trump was when he went off the teleprompter, because it's so obvious when he's reading from the teleprompter, and then he just starts waffling, but that's where the good stuff was.
Yeah, like the clip we played yesterday about the, oh, you like that $2 gas? How about $5, $6 gas?
Yeah.
You'll get that under Joe Biden. It's like, yeah.
He was right. Yeah. In fact, that's optimistic. I've seen like, you know, images where people have taken photos and put them on social media of $7 and $9. It's like, good God.
Oh, you're getting to UK prices there.
Yeah, you're literally getting to UK prices there because we've got an amazingly high tax on it. So yeah, all falling apart.
Good damn. Anyway, so the thing I want to talk about was the mob rule that has come to Scotland. So wasn't expecting this, but
Why weren't you expecting this?
Well, I wasn't expecting it to be this easy. Like, I would have thought there'd be more violence for mob rule in Britain, but apparently mob rule in Britain is just sitting down. That's enough.
Well, the necessary component for violence is resistance from the authorities.
Yeah, and there isn't any. So this is the thing I saw yesterday. Zara Sultana, MP, Labour MP, who is a charm to the Conservative.
She's an Islamo-leftist.
She's unbelievably a mess. And like, she's only ever won one election in her constituency. And in that one election that got her elected, she lost 11% of the vote for Labour there. They just evaporated 11% by running. So
yeah, she's ideologically confused and somewhat of a midwit.
Anyway, so this is a clip she shared, which seems to show a bunch of people surrounding the police in Scotland, and then some guys in the back of the van like waving. I was like, okay, what the heck is this about? And this had like loads of retweets and likes, and I was just like, what? Like, how can this be a thing? So she said, in response to the Home Office immigration raid during Eid, the people of Glasgow mobilised, fought back, and got their neighbours released. What? So I went to the next link here, which is someone trying to explain what's going on here. And, you know, she's there saying, okay, it looks like a suburb, Amir Awed, has negotiated their release. Like, their release.
Who is he? Who does he represent?
So he's the human rights lawyer, I have learned subsequently.
Right.
But if we go to the next one, it's like, it's a hostage situation or something. But there, some person explains it here. The police tried to detain a couple of people in Glasgow suspected of being illegal immigrants on the day of Eid, a Muslim holiday. So the local residents came out of their homes and blocked the street to stop the police taking them away. They have now been released.
And this Amir Anwar was negotiating in this hostage situation against the state.
For his law-breaking client.
Like, well, there's illegal immigrants.
There's no claim here that he is actually an illegal immigrant. So far, I've only seen that, yes, we accept he's illegal, but he shouldn't be deported. It's like, I was just like, oh, come on, this has to be just some stupid tweet. No way. No, it's real. It's real. So if you go to the next one here, this is the Socialist Workers' Party on Facebook celebrating.
Oh, I love the framing there.
Pig emojis. And the Home Office have backed down for now. They will be back, but this shows what we can do when we organize hashtag refugees welcome. Socialist Workers' Party. And you can see red flags and Socialist Workers' Party literature and signs among the crowd of like 200 beta leftists. I mean, not a threat. That's the thing. These people aren't threatening in the slightest.
No, but what they're doing is, I mean, one of them was laying under the van and things like this. They couldn't drive off. And essentially just forcing the government's hand to say, no, look, the laws don't matter.
But I don't even get it. Like, if you were the police, you'd just say, fine, we'll just wait. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm being paid.
We're the state. We literally have unlimited resources.
Yeah, I'm literally being paid to sit here.
Yeah. You're not. Anyway, but the police released a statement on this as well, in which they accepted the, you know, I don't even want
moral
to call it,
like, legitimacy of the protest.
Beta terrorist here? Because they're just so pathetic. That's the thing on my mind. The threat is nothing. No, it's just some people.
That doesn't matter, right? Because the problem is that they acquiesced the demands.
Sure, but if it was a bunch of Tommy Robinson supporters who had clubs or something, the police wouldn't waste any time. They'd get the shields out and they'd get stuck in.
They'd batter them, yeah.
Yeah, but a bunch of pathetic leftists sitting down, not doing anything, not really any threat at all, they buckle. They immediately buckle. Yeah. I mean, there's just something topsy-turvy about that whole thing.
Well, I think it's actually a lot easier to explain than you think, because when you have like these radical left-wing parties like the SNP who take over Scotland and start implementing leftist ethos, this is just an outgrowth of that. It's an outgrowth of the idea that, in fact, it is a mob of people have more legitimacy than the elected government of the country. That's entirely baked within left-wing philosophy. And so now we have a mob of people with literally forcing the police to release lawbreakers into the community. I mean, who knows what these people are? You know, who knows what crimes they've committed other than the crime that they've already been like established of having committed? Who knows what else they've done? We don't. But ideologically, they're just an innocent refugee.
They don't believe in borders at all, because all foreigners are not people. They're angels who have never done anything ever.
Yes.
So this is the statement from the police here. In order to protect the safety, public health and well-being of people involved in the detention and subsequent protest in Kenmure Street, Pollock Shields today, Chief Superintendent Mark Sunderland has, following a suitable risk assessment, taking the operational decision to release the men detained by the UK Immigration Enforcement back into the community meantime. It's like, weird. So, I don't know what's wrong with the like grammar there. That's not me. That's really weirdly written. But just, we saw some people sitting around and therefore we decided to take the decision to not enforce the law.
Yeah, but why can't this standard now apply to every single act of apprehending a criminal? It of course can and will. This is going to, the left, I've seen them like crowing about this all over social media. This has been great. This, oh, look, direct action. Okay, well, you're going to get more of it.
Well, it's not even hard. That's the thing. All you have to do is just sit there and the police will buckle.
Yeah.
You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to do anything even risky.
Yeah, because they're commanded by leftists who also fundamentally believe what the mob has done is just.
I mean, imagine doing this. So when, you know, let's go to the next tweet here. It's just Count Dankula. Pointing out that you can have seven offers kicked down your door over some tweets, but literally sneak into a country illegally and just be let go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pathetic. I mean, if a bunch of guys went down when Count Dankula was arrested and sat around by the van, what would they have done?
Clubbed them. Yeah.
There's no way they would have just released Count Dankula and be like, oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Oh, well, if community action says so.
Yeah. It's complete double standard. Okay, fine. But that's the thing in my mind. Like, sure, we could go out and just sit around, but they just club us. They wouldn't waste any time whatsoever.
It's because the government is controlled by leftists.
This is, in case you were wondering, Nicola Sturgeon's constituency, in which this took place as well. So I imagine strings pulled immediately.
I imagine pretty woke too.
Yeah, so the BBC also reported on this. So it's not just some videos. You can see the Socialist Worker Party placards in the background there.
Yep.
And they say that the police stressed that they did not assist in the removal of the asylum seekers and that the officers at the scene were there to police the protest and ensure public safety. Nicola Sturgeon is quoted as saying no assurances were given when she called up Westminster about these men, as in they wanted to say that the people in Westminster were like, no, we're going to deport them if we get a hold of them. She was like, but you have to give me assurances that they won't. Why? And she also says that, frankly, no empathy was shown when I managed to speak to the junior ministers.
What?
Why would they show any empathy?
They should be deported.
But also, it doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're a minister for law enforcement, you're there to enforce the law. It is not about whether or not it's right or wrong. That's for you to decide in Parliament. But, you know, the police on the ground here and the guys operating to just enforce the law, doesn't matter. Like, the guy's broken in illegally, getting deported.
Yeah.
But, oh, no, I have sympathy for him. He should not... He should,
oh, sure, I've got sympathy for him, too. He shouldn't have broken the law.
I don't have any sympathy for him. No, that's not sympathy. Like, he shouldn't have broken the law. But
well, no, the sympathy is in the moral incompetence of the person who committed the crime. You know, I've got sympathy for lawbreakers. They need discipline.
Yeah.
And part of that discipline is enforcing the laws.
So Nicola Sturgeon released another few statements in which you can see just the insanity in which she lives. So the Home Office needs to ask itself hard questions after today, doing this on Eid, in the heart of our Muslim community, and in the midst of a serious coronavirus outbreak with staggering irresponsibility. But even deeper problem is the appalling asylum and immigration policy of deporting illegals. That's the policy. Illegal people, deport them. But you can see there her bringing up Eid in the heart of our Muslim community.
Yeah.
She continued. So we go to the next tweet. This is her saying in here, I disagree fundamentally with the UK Home Office immigration policy of deporting people who come here illegally.
Borders. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
But putting that aside, this action was unacceptable. To act in this way in the heart of a Muslim community as they celebrated Eid and in an area experiencing a COVID outbreak was a health and safety risk.
God, find a consistent line. Is it because it's offensive to Muslims, or is it because it's risking COVID outbreaks, which obviously it's not?
Or do you just hate the law?
Or do you just want open borders and abolition of Scotland?
Throwing stuff up into the air.
Yeah, she's like, just like, look at all these things. I hope something sticks.
And none of them make any sense. I mean, the immigration policy one, I mean, is the SNP's position no borders now?
Which it has to be if that is the position.
Okay. Also, the Eid thing. Let's go to the next tweet. And you know, they're not Muslim.
Oh, they're not?
None of the guys are Muslim.
Where are they from?
They've got Punjabi names, so they sound Sikh.
Right, okay.
So
Nicola Sturgeon just assumed, because she saw their skin colour.
She saw brown men.
They're brown and they've got beards. Those must be Muslims. Oh dear, Nicola. Oh dear. Oh dear.
They're a bunch of Muslims. Why? Because they got brown skin. Says Nicola Sturgeon.
They're the people who founded a religion to resist Islam.
How dare you do this in the middle of Eid? Why? It's not a holiday. What do you give a fuck?
Well, A, it's not Scottish holiday. You know, B, it's not.
The law doesn't apply on the Scottish holiday of Eid.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's not a Sikh holiday. And that's not really relevant to when the state is carrying out the law. Yeah, exactly. Just
First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, mashallah, it is a holy day, no laws apply.
But like, it's mad.
Just, what? Like, everything about this story doesn't make sense. Like, we were sending it to each other on Discord, looking at it like, none of this makes any sense whatsoever. Like, usually when there's a leftist breakdown or some nonsense, you can see the construction, but just everything just meshing together, but none of it fits. So the other way we know this is they did an interview with ITV, so we can go to the next link. You can see this guy here from ITV
was Mr. Singh,
to interview them. And we're going to go to the first clip, which is just his lawyer and, you know, presumably his friend explaining their position on it, which is stock leftist rhetoric. Let's play.
It's a cynical and provocative action by the Home Office to do it on the day of Eid. Let's be honest, they don't give a damn about the lives of these people. People of Glasgow do. This city is built on the backs of refugees, people who've given blood, sweat and tears to build this city. So we do have those proud traditions and we stand firmly with these men.
It has to be, you know, fair and just. It doesn't have to be based on the climate of fear and hate, which is right now operated by Home Secretary Priti Patel and the Tories right now in this country.
Good endorsement of Priti Patel there.
Yeah, but that sort of rhetoric there where he's like, oh, the whole thing, deporting illegals is based on hate, which is the Tories. It kind of makes me wonder, is this like a false flag or something? Because do you get that many people out for something that's so obviously nonsensical? And then everyone going, yeah, but what about Eid?
I'm just surprised that he would come out with such obvious and full-throated advocacy of paedophilia, though, right? Because what you're saying is to arrest lawbreakers is to hate lawbreakers. And it's like, yeah, that's right. No, he's absolutely right. Yeah. And let's have a look at the other laws that are being broken and say, yes, we do hate those people too. It's actual hatred for paedophiles that forces us to arrest those paedophiles. And he's against that.
Yeah, I mean, if laws can't be applied on Eid because it's a holy day, well, then Muslim rapists can't be arrested on Eid. I mean, that's where that follows.
But one thing I found really hilarious about this, the guy behind him wearing the turban, obviously a Sikh, and he's wearing a Sikh
logo.
Sikh logo, yeah, with the three knives on his chest, and he's sat like, on this holy day of Eid.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, right. Like, what? God.
As Andy No notes here, in case you were without doubt, like, you can see the crowd. We're not going to play a clip, but you can go see it. They're just like a bunch of leftists who are sitting here shouting, refugees are welcome here.
The white people that Humza Yousaf was complaining about, incidentally.
All of them white, by the looks of it, because, yep. I mean, Scotland is like 99% white.
Yep.
But okay, whatever. Like, the idea that there's some crackdown on illegal immigrants in Scotland, what, all 10 of them? Name them by your hands, you know, count them. Like, so, in case you're wondering as well, in case you really have sub-IQ, if some leftists has joined us, welcome. We're just going to point out the fact that, well, refugees, in case they are refugees, we have no idea if they're refugees or not, they just seem to be illegal so far, they're people. They're people too. And people are people, not angels. They are not some kind of beings from heaven who can do no wrong. And I just want to go back to this because I still can't get over this. I mean, this is in Glasgow. From Sudan to the Park Inn, the tragic story of a migrant's killing, from The Guardian. You just scroll down to the first paragraph.
So I've not read this, and I don't know about the story.
We have read this before.
Have we? Okay, I can't remember. But the title implies that the migrant was killed.
Yeah, migrant was killed. For good reason. On the last Friday of June, at about midday, Bradin Abdullah Adam left his room at the Park Inn Hotel in Glasgow, walked down to reception, and stabbed six people.
Jesus!
The 28-year-old asylum seeker from Sudan, who had been placed in the hotel as part of the UK government's emergency response to the coronavirus pandemic, stabbed and seriously wounded three other residents, two staff members, and a policeman who arrived on the scene. Adam was shot dead by armed police officers shortly afterwards.
Good.
I mean, it's as simple as that. Asylum seekers, they're people. And therefore, they are to be treated as people, and therefore have to be processed, because they may be bad people or good people. They are not all some kind of winging angels, because they come from the mysterious foreign land leftists.
I just really hate the framing of that as well. It's like, oh, asylum seekers are people, or illegal immigrants are people. It's like, yeah, I know. That's why we arrest them.
Yeah.
We don't bother arresting geese when they fly over illegally from Canada. Of course we wouldn't, because they're just animals. And they're not sucking up the benefits, and they're not going to go on a stabbing spree or anything like this. But unfortunately, the fact that they are people means we have to take action against them.
Leftist position, refugees are geese. Anyway, but we are talking to leftists, so I mean, let's just go to the next one. This is some other stuff I have to just note because it's amazing. So I mean, this guy, Labour MP, John Trickett, £8.91 is the hourly minimum wage, £9.75 average cost of a takeaway. We have a system where curry is worth more than humans.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
This is so
this is so great. No, that's great. Right, okay, so
it's the best thing ever.
What else is worth more than humans? Well, the flowers I have to buy my wife, they're worth more than human.
Yep.
So, darling, these flowers are worth more than you. You know, so treat them well. That is amazing.
It's just unbelievable. I don't even know if I have to say anything.
What an absolute throbbing brain like this guy has.
Like, these are the Labour MPs. I mean, I've showed you the clips from earlier, but good God. I mean, we have, like, all of them are Diane Abbott, not just Diane Abbott.
Painful midwittery.
There was a good put down I saw from a Conservative MP, so we go to the next one. It's just this guy, Aluminium Rage, £50 equals UK membership. £53 equals UK Labour membership. We have a system where... Oh, never mind. Just what an idiot. What an absolute moron.
And that is such a dumb statement. I just can't get over it.
But also, in response to these guys being threatened with deportation because they were illegal, there was a member, the General Secretary of the Unite Union, which is basically a central part of the Labour Party, the Unite Union being a huge union in the UK. He's been suspended from the Labour Party for tweeting, "Deport Priti Patel," in response. So Priti Patel was getting, you know, she's the Home Secretary getting rid of these illegal migrants. And he's like, yeah, get rid of her.
So a bunch of illegal immigrants who are Sikhs pretending to be Muslims and are hiding behind this big, weird identity politics scandal, they stay. But Priti Patel, someone who is not an illegal immigrant and is an elected politician and is actually acting in the interests of Britain, should be deported. At least we're having the conversation about who should be deported at this point. I think we can make pretty compelling evidence that those people who rape children should be deported. And in fact, not the people who are trying to stop them from raping children.
You are talking to the Labour Party, so I can
that's true.
But the idea of deport Priti Patel, I mean, and a lot of people just took this as like, what, because she's got brown skin? like, is that his opinion? I mean, that's why he's been suspended, because it's the Labour Party see this as an act of racism.
Yeah.
But I just want to, like, the response. So Owen Jones is obviously defending this guy, because of course you would. And I just love the second point here. This speaks of a factional attack, because they kicked him out, not treating racism seriously. Questions of racism are not factional weapons, and it's really grim to use them in such a way.
Oh,
but they are partisan weapons. They are partisan weapons to be used against the conservatives, right-wingers, liberals, but not factional weapons to be used in left-on-left crime.
Just the irony of Owen Jones saying that.
Just if there's racism within the Labour Party, then don't use it, because that's a factional weapon and we shouldn't do that.
Unbelievable.
But if you can use it as a partisan weapon to hurt our enemies, then go for it, even if it's complete nonsense.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it seems weird to me to claim that he says deport Priti Patel and therefore it's because she's brown. It's like, no, because she's the Home Secretary. That'd be the reason. But I mean, the reverse here, Owen. I mean, let's say some other leftist, some right-winger had said deport Diane Abbott. I mean, you say it's because she's black, therefore you're saying get rid of her. In which case, you turn around and say, that's racism, blah, 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 they should be kicked out of the Tory party. I just can't get over how just, like, this. Owen Jones has always been a bit of a meme, but very recently, I mean, with the free speech thing we did on him, we just said, yeah, death to free speech. And then this, he just has no mask anymore, does he?
It's crazy. It's naked just pure, power. Yeah, naked partisan politics. And the thing is, I would strongly oppose the deportation of Diane Abbott. We've got too few good comedians as it is.
Oh, we need that goal.
So, no, we need the comedy, yeah.
Anyway, so last couple of things here. So just looking at the polling. So if you can take some solace, at least in the polling in the UK, in which you can see here the Conservative Party, massive high, 45%. Labour Party into the ditches of history. Good.
Well, the Conservatives doing nothing. Oh, what's happening? They're winning by just increasing, literally by standing still and saying nothing. The Conservative Party are smashing the Labour Party.
The Tiger Patel method. But in Scotland, it's not going so well. So we go to the next one. So this is Scottish polling. So you can see there, SNP 26% lead on the Conservatives. What is wrong with Scotland? Like, what a mess.
Well, what is wrong with Scotland, Vicky?
The people of Scotland, like, literally mob rule in the streets. And, you know, Nicola Sturgeon, the leader, jumps out there and is like, no, not my fellow Muslims. And they're like, I'm not Muslim.
Never mind. Yeah.
Didn't know you were either, but...
But the point is, they're brown, Nicola, so that's close enough, right?
I mean, with all the other memes, like, this is just the newest meme coming out of Scotland. But my God, what a mess. And I love how also the Labour Party in the UK is just getting worse and worse there. But
yeah,
God. I mean, I'm getting around to your point of just eject Scotland. Like, let's hold another referendum, Sturgeon. You can have it, but it's going to be done in England.
Yeah.
The English will vote on it.
I mean, I'm all for it, man. There's loads of great anti-union propaganda I could use. Like, I'm not even going to start because it'll go on forever.
But anyway.
Right. So this is an article from 2019. And I want to talk about it because why not have a bit of a daddist sermon at the end of a podcast? I love this so much, right?
Need not a jingle.
Yes, we do. We do. We need a dadism jingle. Probably the theme tune from Married with Children. I'm all for feminism, but it's making it kind of hard to date. File to single AF by a one Jennifer Lee. Rough. I consider myself a feminist, but I can't lie, I'm starting to notice its effects on my dating life. This doesn't change my belief in equality, I just hope that men and women can eventually learn to date in harmony, because it's pretty messy right now. What do you reckon, Callum? Will men and women learn to date in harmony? This sounds like George Bush saying maybe the human and fish can coexist peacefully.
Feminist or the fish.
But the thing is, it's kind of difficult to do that, Jennifer, when feminism has allowed one side to actually go on the attack against the other side, and the other side has no defense against it. So how could they? You're sat there punching men in the face saying, look, can't we just be friends? And no, the answer is no, we can't have peace because you keep attacking. You know, stop stabbing. So the first point, I love this. I'm hyper aware of every sexist thing a guy does now. There we go. That's you on the attack. That's you stabbing. Why can't we just date? Why can't we go on a nice meal out? It's like, well, because I'm filled with blood and covered in wounds. And, you know, like, why are you doing this to me?
So I can't... Hyper aware. I mean, the kind of people who are upset by, what is it, microaggressions.
Yeah.
Of you using the wrong pronoun.
Yeah, yeah. And so she's like, you know, it doesn't take much for me to overanalyze a guy's intentions nowadays. Why are you doing it? Don't do it at all. Stop. Just be like, no, I'm you know, that's my feminist brainwashing taking over. I'll just carry on. You know, I know guys offering acts of chivalry have no intention to make me feel small or lesser than, but now that my eyes have been opened to feminist theory, it's all I'm able to talk about. There we go. It's you. It's not them. It's you. You have been brainwashed as a feminist. And you're like, yeah, but I'm too woke.
It's not the guys endlessly talking about feminist theory.
Yeah, exactly. I'm too woke to not like see them as being attacking me, because that's the way that feminists view the world. And so it's like, what, can we date in harmony? No, you can't. Because of you. Next one. Guys are starting to think we don't need them anymore. Well, I wonder where they got that impression. What was the movement saying that women are independent and equal to men and don't need men for anything? Oh, that's right. It was feminism. Every time. Even though the feminist movement is pretty much the best thing to happen to this world since sliced bread, it's taking its toll on the dating scene. Well, let me tell you about the problem with sliced bread. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's literally like, I can't think of a really appropriate example. It's kind of like a Byzantine emperor complaining about all of the Alan invasions. And it's like, we just keep giving them money and they just keep coming. And I don't know why. And it's like, well, there we go. It's you're literally incentivizing. You're the one doing it. Why don't you stop? You know, change yourselves, because yourselves are clearly the problem. But anyway, I'm starting to get a bit of a standoffish vibe from these guys. Like they're afraid to make a move and they don't think that we need them anymore. Yeah. And it was the raison d'etre of men to be needed, right? That's where the honor of being a man comes from. Other people rely on you and you fulfill your purpose and function as a man to support the people around you. That was always what it was about. That's the point of a two-parent family. The wife stays at home, raises the kids, keeps the house, and you provide the money. And that's why when a woman gets pregnant, the man does extra hours. You know, this is just something.
And security.
It's security, exactly. This is what men were for. And if you don't need them, why do you want a man? Like, what are you looking for? You know, you're offering them nothing if you have no need for their essentially services. And this is the thing. So anyway. One little anti-feminist comment can completely turn me off. Okay, but that's you. That's, you know, go down a bit, John, sorry.
It's going to be the smallest thing in the world as well.
Yeah, exactly. When I'm out with a guy and he says one thing that's even remotely offensive towards women, I find it really hard to recover. It's weird. It's such a, like, I didn't read this article in advance of this, so this is the first time I'm reading what she's saying, right? So this is like live reaction. But I find this really amusing because, like, it's, like, just admitting that you've been brainwashed. Like, I'm just, yeah, well, I mean, I got my mind scrubbed and now I can't see anything but feminist theory and all men are evil. And for some reason, it's affecting my dating life.
But also, like, she's been brainwashed, she says, and then also I'm insufferable to be around.
Yeah.
Because even the littlest comment makes me turn into a raging, you know, zealot.
But I love this, right? I find it really hard to recover. Okay, who did this to you? Someone has done something to you that's ruining your dating life and the way you perceive these things, and you need to change. It's not someone else that can change. You have to admit, feminism has ruined your ability to date. It's like the guys are walking on eggshells around us. Well, I bet they are, considering it's believe all women and men are all liars and evil. Of course, men are on eggshells when going on dates. They're wondering, am I dealing with a woman who's going to absolutely ruin my life? Is she going to accuse me of rape? Is she going to take everything I have? Is she going to ruin my public reputation and possibly get me sent to prison because she's angry with me? Because she's resentful against men? Like, is all of these are possibilities. I'm not surprised, you know? And I love the way guys are feeling the heat and we can all tell. Yes, you're putting them in a kind of reign of terror. They're afraid. They're afraid to, in fact, she says that. They're afraid to compliment us or relate to us in the way that we were always taught to. And trust me, this is a good thing. Really, it's a good thing that men are living in a reign of terror in the dating world, is it? How do you feel about it, Callum?
I wouldn't date a feminist.
Well, neither would I.
I mean, they're right. I mean, I honestly hear from guys who are like 40 or 50 as well. You mean it's just like, I would hate to be dating in this age?
Well, I'm 41 and I would hate to be dating in this age.
Yeah, I mean, like, the smallest thing is just not worth the risk.
But she's like, however, women still like to be pursued, at least I do, and it's unfortunate that by finally standing up for our rights and demanding respect, we're totally scaring men away. It's so messed up and a total shame. Well, maybe if you weren't literally punching them in the face repeatedly and saying, love me, things would be easier, right? But this is the best one. I've been brainwashed to assume the worst in men. These admissions are incredible. This just flat out says it, right? Because normally we have to try and like tease this out of the person. But like, so do you think you may have been brainwashed in some way, or like persuaded to view the world in a way that frames men as being inherently evil? Yeah, and she's like, no, I was brainwashed to hate men.
But also just the hate men part. Like, do you think that maybe you're not about women's empowerment? Maybe some of this stuff is about hating men?
Yeah.
It's like, no, you don't even have to do any of that. She just says it.
No, I'm standing up for my rights. It's like, yeah, but you're assuming the worst about men because they're men. That makes you a misandrist. Anyway, I love this. I think I've almost trained my brain to assume all men are here to try and put me down and dominate me when that's far from the truth. She's literally struggling against her own brainwashing. Be like, you know, the brainwashing's good, but it does have this disconnect with reality where it tells me all the men are evil. But I know loads of men who aren't evil.
It's just ruining my life, but yeah. You know, that's a worthwhile price to pay for the ideology.
Yeah, exactly. For my rights, whatever that's supposed to mean. But anyway, yeah. The debate on who should pay has never been more alive. Actually, I think the debate on who should pay is over. It's not men. It should be 50-50 split equally. That's how feminism decrees it. It's actually kind of an easy answer. And
it's an answer they don't want to hear, but that is the answer.
That is, exactly, right? She says, due to the recent boost in feminism, a guy paying the bill could be seen as anti-feminist, and no guy wants to be considered a misogynist in this day and age. That depends what circles you operate in, I suppose.
Depends what your definition is.
Yeah. A lot of women kind of like the misogyny, actually, you know. It's just that, anyway, enough about the Twilight books and the 50 Shades of Grey. Anyway, I'm afraid of scaring guys off by being too feminist. I think that ship's sailed. I think that ship's gone. In the same way I'm hyper aware when guys are being insulting towards women, I'm also afraid that I'm going to come off as too harsh and dominant, which could easily scare guys away. Feminism is something I'm passionate about, but I also know how guys can get insecure when I talk about it. I don't know what to do anymore. Do you get insecure when women talk about feminism, Callum?
No, I get bored. But I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, you're literally listing the problem here. The problem is your ideological worldview is destroying your life and it doesn't reflect reality, as you are saying. In which case, what's the problem? Well, change out that ideology for three thinking. That's your problem.
But I love the way that she says this. You know, it's like, feminism is something I'm passionate about. Okay, it's your new religion. I get it. Your Facebook feed, your timeline, as you've already said, is all full of this stuff. And it's making you hate men, be unable to relate to them, and it doesn't represent reality, and it's ruining your dating life. Like, if this is your religion...
If this was a religion, it'd be called a cult.
Yes, it is a cult. But, like, this is the new religion you've adopted. How is it good? Like, why would you think, you know, like, oh, yeah, but I've got my rights. I was like, okay, but is that good?
But I've got my relationship with God.
Yeah, yes, you know. My relationship with the divine vagina in the sky.
Oh, God. Well, it's like the flying spaghetti monster.
Sorry, is there not enough feminist iconography of the divine vagina in the sky?
No, there is.
You
too
know
much.
That, I mean, they do, like, dressing up on the women's marches as giant vaginas. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Did you all see the tent someone built where it was a huge vagina and you had to walk in the entrance and you know what that was?
No, I didn't see that, but anyway. It's made us more separate from each other than ever before. Good. Men and women already have so much trouble trying to understand each other, but feminism has turned our society into a bit of a battle of the sexes.
A bit.
She's literally, like, engaging in the war on men, you know? She's literally like, yeah, well, I'm at war with men, and I want them to all to live under the reign of terror. There's a bit of a battle of the sexes going on. No, there's not a battle of the sexes. What there is persecution of the powerful against the powerless. Men aren't fighting women, and they've got no tools by which to do so. There's no... Where are the meninists? Where are the... You know, where
are
they?
How could you even imagine such a thing?
No, dressing up as penises on the men's rights march, walking down, you know, and it's like, sorry, that's not a faction in society. It's literally like a child that's torturing small animals. And she sat there torturing the animals, going, yeah, but I really want these animals to love me. It's like, yeah, well, maybe you should stop torturing them. Yeah, but I can't. This is my passion. Torturing animals is my passion.
Just marching down the street in the penis uniforms. The penis united will never be defeated. What do you think?
But honestly, like, it's so weird how this woman can write all of this and come to all of the conclusions on what the problem is and yet have no, like, self-awareness and be like, I could just stop this at any time. I'd unsubscribe from all these feminist Facebook pages, Twitter feeds, and then I could just be normal. Just watch TV or something. Anyway. Every first date I go on, there's an elephant in the room. It's weird because we're doing the whole man-seeking woman act when we go out on dates. But we both know this is an old way of seeing each other and it's on its way out. I'm not saying dating is dead. I think we'll need to find new ways to be in relationships without falling into any sort of forced gender roles. I just don't think we know how to do it yet. That's right. That's completely true. You have no idea how to have a relationship with a man, because you have rejected the traditional gender role that had been inherited from the past that allowed people to do this. It facilitates it. That's the point. It's a way of saying, look, I expect you to open the door and pay for the meal, but then in return, I am going to fulfill like the woman's function in a relationship, and men can judge you on your performance on that regard, and you judge the man's performance on his end of the bargain, and you both come to an understanding, and you can form a relationship. If you break these things and you bond, you just sit there going, "Well, are we going to just bump uglies? Is that all we do?" Like, is this just about sex?
We're just going to be partners.
Yeah.
Not going to be, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend or husband and wife or anything like this. Just partners.
Yeah, that's not a relationship. And also, these women are going to lose out to those women who are like, maybe I can see an opening here for the more sort of traditionally minded woman who's like, actually, I'm going to get a man. You know, I'm going to get a husband. I'm going to get a family and a kids and I'm going to get a house and everything's going to be great. And these insane feminist millennials who are sat there going, wow, my feminism's ruining everything, but I'm never going to give it up, are going to end up as the cat ladies, which they are inevitably going to be. And the last one is, I swear guys are approaching me less. Is it just me or are guys doing a lot more looking around than actually approaching? Times are a little weird right now, and I guess guys are afraid of the way they approach women might offend us or give us the wrong impression. Also, because you will be able to level charges of sexual harassment for a man propositioning you now. Thank you, feminism. So men, if they proposition women and the woman doesn't like it, probably in many places like California, can claim that this is a form of harassment.
Well, no, in the UK, I remember you covered this. I think it was like the Count Dankula case you were covering, but there was a story in there in which this kid had touched the girl's arm and tried to speak to her, and then he couldn't get the words out because he's an awkward
autistic.
Autist. Yeah. But in response, she put charges against him, and he was convicted and had to do community service.
Because he touched her on the arm.
But that's not normal.
No. That's the consequence of feminism. And so it's not surprising that men are approaching you a lot less. But anyway, yeah, so she says, I guess this is kind of a good thing in a way, because now guys have to rack their brain and kind of figure out how to treat women with respect and see us as whole people. That's a good thing, but it'll be a while until we see that as a dating trend. It's a good thing that men won't approach me, but I really wish I had a date. I mean, like, the doublethink is just on display here. This is amazing doublethink. This is genuinely Orwellian. And the 1984 book club will do next week, in fact.
It's a good thing I don't have a date, but I really want one.
It's like... Exactly. It's ideologically a good thing. And yeah, John asks, since when did men date half a human? Good question. But this is the point, isn't it? Like, the whole thing is genuinely an exercise in Ingsoc. You know, the right think is the good feminist orthodoxy, and the wrong think is the biological imperative to not want to die alone. Fun times. Glad I'm not a feminist. Ladies, reject feminism at all costs for your own good, for your own sanity, frankly.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go to the video comments.
Moria, you fear to go into those mines. The dwarves delve too greedily and too deep. You know what they awoke in the darkness of Khazad-dûm, a creature of shadow and flame.
Aquamia!
I love that Ghazi Kodzo's arc has become him being a cult leader in Colorado.
Yeah, he doesn't mention the other guy. He's the guy in charge of Black Hammer Commune or whatever it is. The Nazballs.
Yeah. It's amazing. I just love where it's gone. It's crazy.
For people who don't know what we're referring to, this commune got set up in what is it, Colorado, in which they hate the Jews and Anne Frank, and they burn Anne Frank's diary to keep warm.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they want socialism, so it's like, right, okay.
They also hate white people.
Obviously. Yeah, of course they hate white people. They're black nationalists.
Yeah.
That's what he's up to these days.
It's great.
I tell you, I said that we should really do an episode of just like, where are they now?
Yeah.
Just a whole bunch of people and just...
Well, that's where he is now, you know? It's great.
I know, right? How funny is that?
Yeah, it's wild.
So it'd be good to like explain to him and then, you know...
I can't wait to see what happens with the commune.
But it's also like, you know, the glow up photos you were showing me, mm-hmm. where it started off as like pretty average, you know, maybe a good looking person, and they went to college and they look like a fucking mess.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, glow up of where are they now? Like any Sarkeesian, bankrupt. This guy leading a Black Hammer commune in the hills, burning Anne Frank's diary. It's like... Yeah, all right. Your life's Sterling, going well.
Jim Sterling transitioned.
Yeah. Be funny.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Anyway, let's go for the next one.
Greetings, Lotus Eaters. I'd like to apologize for my earlier comment. I'm very, very big into aviation, and I forget that most people are not. It was more of a discussion on whether buying abroad but available now is better or worse than buying domestically but available long term. Thank you guys for everything you do. I've been a gold tier subscriber since day one, so I really can't thank you enough. I really believe in what you guys are doing. I love that you're adding more people to the podcast. That's absolutely fantastic. Sorry for all my slurring. I hope that doesn't mess you up too much. Too many of these. I'm American. What you do? Sorry. One more thing. One, John, you're the best for keeping up with my video comment requests. Number two, have you ever thought about making a public Discord server? I'd love to see the discussions that come from that. Thank you.
So first thing, no need to thank us. Thank all of you for subscribing and signing up at dilosiers.com. We wouldn't be here otherwise.
Yeah.
As for the question he mentioned, so he asked us yesterday about buying American planes that are available now or waiting for British planes to be available. I think the government went with the British version and whether or not it was a good thing. Again, it just depends on the circumstances. Are we going to war soon? Are we going to use them? Or can we afford to wait and buy British? Because buying British seems better in a general
intuitively
trend.
Yeah. Well, and before we move on, in fact, I owe someone an apology, and I hope he's watching now. I received a phone call earlier from someone who had a very bad connection because they were calling from, I think it was Australia or New Zealand, and I thought it was a crank call. And so because I could barely hear what they were saying, like I can't remember what the name was because I couldn't really hear it properly, and they were saying things that sounded as if they were like essentially trying to sort of set me up for a joke or something, and I was just like, right, okay, yeah, whatever. And then it occurred to me, oh, actually, this might have just been someone who, I don't know how they got my number or something, but like was actually genuinely inquiring, and it was just the really poor quality of the thing. So if you're listening, chap, I can't remember, I'm really sorry that if I was rude, because I came away from it thinking, oh god, no, because it was only after I'd hung up I thought, oh wait, actually, that might not have been some guy trying to wind me up. That might have actually been someone who needed help. And now I feel really guilty, and it's been on my mind, which is why I'm apologizing for it now. But if you need any assistance, you can email contact@lotuses.com, and we will, of course, help you out. My apologies if I was rude.
Also, if you're listening, I'm glad you got the phone number. I'll be texting you tomorrow. No.
Dick.
Let's go for the next one.
Hey, guys, just a continuation from Bo's White Pill Wednesday theme, which was all about space. I really love space as well. So something that I just want to bring to people's attentions, if they also like it, is specifically around the development of space, near-Earth space, specifically the cislunar space economy. There is a thing called Blue Marble Week, which gets live-streamed once a month, every month for this year. This month's was about mining in space, and last month's was all about space elevators, which they expect the first one to be in operation, I think, by 2047 from memory, and it's very exciting. That is available on the Liftport, is it Liftport? Yeah, Liftport Group YouTube page, and I highly recommend it. And if you're interested in after this podcast or discussion, then you can come and join us with the Sultans of Châtelet podcast as well. So just a blatant plug. See ya.
It's fine to plug.
Yeah.
No problem at all.
You paid for the privilege, so.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Anyway, but that's great. That's great. I didn't know they were going to go that soon for a space elevator. That's impressive, but I have to see it when I see it. You know,
26 years or something. Right?
Yeah, 2047, I think you said.
Yeah, it's 26 years from now.
Yeah, it's always like, it's going to happen, and then it takes way longer. But I mean, it's one of the interesting things, like the reason the science stuff is so good to do, you know, like a white pill on is because it seems like the only area in which leftist philosophy has a real tough time infiltrating.
Is reality.
Because it can't afford, you know, there's a level of how much reality you need in a subject, and on something like science and technology, it's 100%.
And we also have a good track record of what happens when leftist ideology takes over science. You either get Jewish science or you get Lysenkoism. And so it's like, okay.
That's what they called it.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Nazis called it. That's why they didn't get the atom bomb. And Lysenkoism is, of course, the ridiculous theory that plants are actually natural socialists.
Yeah. They have, what is it, like comradeship between each other?
Yeah.
So you plant them closer together.
And deeper underground.
Yeah.
And it just really helps the harvest.
It's It's been tried. You know what irritates me as well? Like, you know, Soviet Union, they tried it, utterly failed. The Chinese then did the same thing, utterly failed. There are other socialist countries that, after those two failures, still went and did it. And it's just like, do you guys not talk at all?
It's the same as the feminist woman going, well, look, all this feminism is correct, but it's really affecting my life. And it's not, it doesn't reflect reality. It doesn't describe men accurately. It's damaging my dating prospects, but it is my passion. You know, it is, and that's the way they see it. Yeah. Ideologically orthodox.
My life is less important than the ideology.
Yeah.
I should suffer for
the ideology.
What a thing to say, you know? Mm. God. Anyway, let's go to the comments on the site.
So yeah, White Hot Peppers. Yeah. Good to see you, Carl. Hey, dude. Not sure if you heard my comment from yesterday. I didn't, but it gets worse. I'm still doing some investigation into it, so I don't want to give any more details now. Other than our lovely Governor Whitmer seems to be involved in some way or another. It completely reeks of money laundering.
So, for people who don't know, she was saying they were being charged $15 per meal, I think it was, for the meals they were getting, the ones that were disgusting and undercooked.
That's more than a human's worth.
Yeah, but it's like they were charging them this, but then she found out that the catering companies were only charging $5 a meal, so it's like, well, where did the $10 go? Who's stuffing that in their pocket?
Probably Kamala Harris's pocket, along with the proceeds from her book sales.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, Callum, from yesterday about why the army has to pay for our own food, soldiers always pay for our own food, transportation, and housing. They just take it directly out of our pay and decided for us what it will be used for. There is a way that it will be reimbursed from the money was taken from us, and the money will be spent that we spent the food on ourselves. I've kept all of my receipts from everything that I had to buy while I was there, and I spent about $2,500 on food alone. All the restaurants are pretty much open, all the places deliver, so there is no excuse for why they didn't just stop paying that SES catering company with our money. Also, keep in mind that it isn't just the soldiers' money we're paid in tax dollars, so it's everyone who pays taxes. Doesn't anyone want to know what happened to the $18 million plus dollars of our money? And that's just for our food. What about everything else they took out of our pay? Do they do the same thing with our hotels and buses? I don't know what to do, guys. I have all this rolling around my brain all day, and it's driving me crazy. I don't know what to say, man.
I don't know what to say either. I didn't know about it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just an idiot. Like, I've never joined the military. I always wanted to. But it's just, like, the idea of having to pay for stuff when you're the soldier. It's like, why? Like, surely...
It strikes me as odd.
You're there on, you know, essentially campaign in Washington. Like, surely your food...
Because you're a legitimately elected president. Yes. And you need armed guards.
Anyway, but I don't want to comment anymore because I don't have any expertise.
I find it weird. I mean, I grew up on military camps and I never heard anything about the... I mean, my dad was in the RAF for like 25 years and I'm sure he didn't... Like, when they're deployed somewhere, I'm sure they're not paying for their own food.
Maybe it's just a Yankee thing or something. Maybe National Guard, not professional military that are there 24/7.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, seems like a bad move if it's a Biden initiative. William says, Christ, we're only 4-ish months into the Biden presidency, honk honk, and things are the worst they've ever been in my lifetime. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I just can't believe how quickly Joe Biden has ruined America with his radical fascist policies. It's just staggering.
Did you see Trump's comment on all this?
No, what was it?
So he said that people were comparing him to Jimmy Carter because of the same problems.
Yeah.
He's like, this is an insult to Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter did way better than this. Like, at least Jimmy Carter was dealing with crises that came his way. He didn't create the crises himself.
Yeah. We've got another 3.5 years to go, and I just don't see us making it to things when when things are this bad already. I'm trying to resist the black pill, and seeing the commies get BTFO in the UK is great, but it just feels bittersweet knowing the US is a whole different beast as the Democrats have an entire surf class of illegal immigrants, a large chunk of the minority vote, and tens of millions of mindless, uninformed voters who just vote D every election. And then there's the fortifying of the elections. Things are going to get worse before they get better. I mean, you know, they have to be broken before you can build them back, I guess. But yeah, I am quite concerned, which is why we spent the first half of the podcast of me going, look, this is what fascist dictators do. They ruin everything. Socialist dictators, whatever you want to call them.
Here's the statement.
I see everyone comparing Joe Biden to Jimmy Carter. That would be very unfair to Jimmy Carter. Jimmy mishandled crisis after crisis, but Biden created crisis after crisis. Good point. Fair. Ave says, Truth Caesar says, these last couple of podcasts have turned me into the smiling mask covering the crying face meme. If given a few years, both the UK and France become more base than my home country of the US, I just have to ask how. Well, don't worry, the general's already writing to Biden saying, listen, it's not going well, is it? You know, we haven't got any generals writing to the Conservatives, but then in the Conservatives' defence, they're going in the right direction.
Yeah, but I mean, it wouldn't hurt to prepare.
Wouldn't hurt if a few generals just sent Boris a letter.
I'm sure you guys have a WhatsApp group.
Tia Fullspark says, I am loving the Biden's remorse. Yeah, well, he caused it all. He caused all of this. All of this is down to his policies and the rushed manner that he's done everything in. And it's the idea that he's a friend of the working man is ridiculous when you have this kind of situation with inflation. This is an evil that Biden has done. Dylan Tucker says, as someone working in Massachusetts, I'm pissed that my technical job, well above the minimum wage, is now worth slightly more than people sitting at home with their thumbs up their asses.
Yeah, I would be too.
Yeah, I'd be furious. You know, why work? Why do anything? And again, this is all a fraud, right?
It's your money as well.
Exactly. But the idea that you can just, oh, we'll just print money and then that will solve the problem. It's like, that's obvious falsity. Because if it's not tied to the value of labor, then it is valueless. That's what it is. The only value that it has is the value of the dollars that are tied to labor. You know, and this is why prices are going to increase. You're screwed. Tom Y, wait, am I just misinformed? I thought the stimulus check 3 was just a one-off thing earlier in the year. Certainly it's not being paid out monthly or even weekly. No, the unemployment benefits have gone up because the federal government, as I understand it, have added to states' unemployment benefits. But the stimulus checks are in addition to, and there's like the third stimulus check or whatever. So not only is the US government just doling out money to everyone for the sake of it, they're increasing the amount of money that unemployed people get, as I understand it. If I'm wrong, please do correct me, though. Luke Robinson says, who would have thought that the people who deny and rewrite history can't see historical issues like inflation? It's not even historical. Venezuela's going through this right now. Like, it's contemporary. You know, go back 5 years and Zimbabwe is in exactly the same position. This is within living memory. This is not new.
It's not even the only state. I mean, like Turkey as well. Yeah. It's been going through a ridiculous amount of inflation.
Yeah.
Because they just keep printing them. And then just every year they cut 3 zeros off. It's new currency. Yeah.
Or you get the Zimbabwe route and print like a $1 trillion note.
Yeah.
Here you go. Have a $1 trillion.
Have you got one of them?
No.
I've got one in my house. It's good.
How much did it cost you?
It was about £5.
this is your future, Scotland. Colin D says, they're practicing modern monetary theory. The idea is to tax the extra money out of the system soon. We'll see if it works. It's not going to work. You know it's not going to work. Alexander Fate says, Carl is shocked that the Democrats don't understand fundamental economics. It's their entire platform. I guess that's true. That puts me in my place. Philip Williams says, thank God I already bought my house. The value of my $100,000 mortgage is going to go way down when we're paying $1 trillion bills like Zimbabwe. Yes, it is. Joseph Sims, Biden is not just the commander-in-chief, but also the editor-in-chief of the US. Yes, that's a good way of putting it. I should have.
One thing I don't get about that, though, is why bother? Like, they all love you already. They're already massive Democrat simps. I mean, you could see it under Trump's administration best. I mean, if you're not convinced about them being, you know, overly nice to the Democrats, you could see them being overly harsh to Trump every single day. And then why do you even need to editorialize them? What slight deviation is there going
to
be?
Because you are committing to a perfect narrative, Mussolini style, where the glorious leader and his regime is always right and always conquering, and the problems are always someone else's fault. That's why. And this whole thing only flies while that narrative is sustained. And that's why you need all of the media to be on board, and you've got to make sure they're all in
place.
Just
can't last.
No, of course not. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is about to collapse, and it's entirely Biden's fault. Daniel says, a home property tax is the same as paying rent. That means everyone is renting their property from the state, and the moment you stop, they take it away from you. How is that not the opposite of private property? It's like we're living in socialism light. Check out Tick. I got the original point from him. That's a great point. And this
is home property tax?
Well, you have to pay a tax on your property for any property
every year?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's evil.
I don't own a house, so this is all news to me.
Yeah, but this is what I hated about the gun buyback thing. The implicit assumption is that the state sold you your guns. It's like, no, you didn't. At no point did the state have access to these guns. How can you say you're buying them back off me? No, what you're doing is coercing me to sell these to you because you're a fascist.
We're going to take your guns by force, but we'll give you some compensation.
We're progressive. Yeah.
Anyway.
Christian says, Jimmy Carter can now die a happy man. Biden has assumed the worst the title as the worst president presiding over inflation, energy crisis, and Middle East wars. Yeah, that's not even getting into all of the other things that have been going wrong under Biden's tenure. Like, I can't help but notice, right, that the Middle East was actually a really quiet place when Donald Trump was on Twitter screeching about how everyone was about to get
around, find out.
Yeah, fire and fury, by the way. And everyone's like, well, I don't want to risk it. Just, I mean, you know, this guy seems like a maniac.
Abdullah, look at this. This guy's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think he won't? No, I don't. You know, the note about the pipeline company paying the ransom. The Colonial Pipeline is a private company and not government run. Yeah, I know. But the thing is, when you have something that is privately owned and run, that is responsible for the energy supply, which means the ability for the eastern seaboard to operate of the United States, this is not actually merely a private company. And the government has an absolute responsibility to make sure, to the citizens, to make sure that company can do its business without being impeded, right? The government can't just be like, well, private company, not our problem. That's unacceptable. And it especially has consequences for America's the reputation on the world stage. This, honestly, you can't pay off ransoms. You just can't do it. You know, it encourages more. But I agree with you that the weakness on the government's part is their total destruction of energy independence. Yeah, but the problem is the size and scale and importance of the company. Chris says, not exactly sure how they enforce the whole wear a mask until vaccinated thing. Well, I mean, maybe we could look at a gold star. I haven't been vaccinated. I'm wearing my gold star, though, honest.
I mean, literally, what else? What, you know, I don't know. Or what are you going to do by it?
He's a Nazi. He's a Nazi. They're all Nazis. Nazis have taken over. And it's the ethos of the Nazis. That's the thing. The idea that the power legitimizes anything that you do. That's what it is. Christian says something really long, and we're moving on, so I'm going to move on to the next subject. Sorry, Christian. Kyle says, I've been in Scotland all my life and one of the few who pay more in tax than I take out, but I'll still have to pay £1,500 to apply and still could be rejected to bring my wife here, and then I'll need to send her to England for her to convert her pharmacy degree to UK compliant standards, because there are no unis that do that in Scotland anymore. Nicola and her mob don't care about real immigrants who'd be beneficial to society, just votes for her gravy train and virtue signalling. Couldn't have put it better.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Because, like, I don't know where his wife's from, obviously, but obviously she's upwardly mobile. She's someone who's put the effort in. And okay, fine. They need to make her degree compliant to UK standards. Makes sense, because who knows where she got the degree. And you can't do that in Scotland, so Scotland is now relying on England to have legitimate immigrants.
But he also said any more, so presumably they did have a university where you could do that, and it's been run into the ground.
Yeah.
Because education and healthcare are run by the SNP in Scotland. I mean, it's kind of the funny political move by the Tories, which they had the referendum. They won the referendum on keeping Scotland in. And they were like, right, how do we destroy independence? Well, we give them the power to run everything, and then when they F it all up, we can point to them and be like, your fault, not ours.
Yeah.
And, well, it's worked.
I do want us to rebuild a wall, though.
Yeah.
I don't want Scots just to be able to flee from the dystopia they voted for.
If they go independence and they keep the SNP, that's the solution.
I honestly want a wall. I was like, no, you can come through the checkpoint.
Just give up your vote.
You're already
rights.
Here, don't worry about it. Jack says, Carl, I'm trying to do Scotland what you did for England with the Greenwood Project, which is on hiatus, but I'm sure will return. Spent some time trying to find people who could do that, but I've decided to do it myself. I have an issue, however. I have a load of texts written in Middle Scots which don't have any modern translations. How did you go about reading old Middle English books and poems, etc.? Just looking for some advice. It's really difficult. You're going to have to learn it. But the thing is, it's not actually insurmountable, because fundamentally, your modern language, even probably Scots, is a descendant of the Middle English and Middle Scottish languages. So what it takes a lot of time, and it means it's slow reading, and the more you practice it, the better you get at it. But after a while, you get the sense of what they're saying because of like a kind of method of transmission. So like you'll have something like, Gawain, you know, justly did something, and you'll realize that what he's saying is, Gawain followed the law, right? And so so you get like the thick language that they use in Middle English. And you can translate it into a thinner version of the modern. And there are usually lots of different words that you could use to replace what they were trying to say. But you get the sense of what they're trying to say, you know, and it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of work, but it's not insurmountable. Failing that, you might want to see if you can find an expert, you know, who train yourself, teach yourself, I don't know, go on a course. But it's just hard work. Ben Cook, we don't believe in borders, says the Scottish Nationalist Party. Obviously, they believe in at least one border. Liars. Well, it's the same way that Joe Biden doesn't believe in borders. He believes in fences and guards. Chris Randall, anyone who complains about illegal immigration should have someone illegally park there on their drive or car parking space. When they complain about illegal parking, be like, didn't think you mind illegal things where they're not meant to be.
I love the idea. Yeah, like the British state could essentially turn gypsies into like our Cossacks, yeah. Where we find trouble and we're just like, right, guys, go. And they just all turn up, live illegally on someone's land for ages. And we just pay them to do it. There you go. And then we can teach them the message. They'll stop.
You're not anti-gypsy, are you?
Yeah.
And then racist?
But like you pay the gypsies. Like you just give them money. It'd be a sort of like a private police force for the state to crack down on people saying that, you know, oh, we need no borders. It's like, oh, there you go.
God, we could literally pay gypsies to just go to all of the left-wing progressive areas and just sap camp. Because and we're like, look, right, not only are we going to pay you to go there, they won't be able to tell you to leave. And so you'll be sat on this prime real estate, able to strip as much copper out of the roofs as you want, right? You know, taking much lead piping down as you can, and they won't even tell you you're wrong.
And we'll pay you to do it.
And we'll pay you to do it, yeah.
Everyone wins.
Yeah, everyone wins, yeah.
He learns a life lesson. We don't have to deal with him anymore, and you guys get a load of money.
Jan Marcher says, Scotland is doomed. Please let them leave the Union. Also, Muslims built Glasgow. What the... Yeah, that when he said, you know, refugees built Glasgow. What?
Muhammad and his band of warriors.
But just... what they're doing is taking the framing of the slaves built the White House, right? Because there were some slaves involved in the building of the White House. Not all of them, but, you know, they're for labour. And they're trying to take that framing and apply it to Glasgow. But I would put money on the fact that absolutely zero Muslims were involved in the building of Glasgow.
But that's just the idea of like it's a refugee built city, and like for what, like 10 refugees moved here 10 years ago, and therefore it's a refugee built city. You know there were things before then, right?
No, Scotland's brand new and has just been built by refugees. God also, bless those refugees.
Also, implicitly, he's saying there it's not a Scottish city; it's a refugee city.
But why did they build it shit?
That's the ultimate question. Yeah. You know, refugees built this city. Well, they do a good job, do they?
Yeah, exactly. Scotland was just this empty wasteland of wandering nomad tribes before 2007, right? And then the refugees arrived, and they built Glasgow, and it's great, but it's actually terrible. Why
immigrants
did you build
this country. What a condemnation of immigration. Sorry.
Obviously, I'm joking.
Just such a good subversion of the language.
Yeah, I've been to Glasgow. It's actually a nice city, man.
I don't know if I went to Glasgow. I think I went to Glasgow with Brain. It was all right.
Well, okay. The resident Scott is saying it's not, but I went there and it looked nice. It was pretty.
I went to Wetherspoons. They had haggis pizza. It was delightful.
Edinburgh is pretty. But Edinburgh wasn't built by immigrants. It was Glasgow. Grizzly says, what are your thoughts on a petition to Parliament to make it illegal for socialists or communists to hold any form of public office? I think that it's a totally fair vector of discrimination. Ideology is actually the last vector of discrimination we're allowed. It's the only one. I mean, what else can you do? You can't do religion, you can't do race, can't do gender, you can't do sexuality. You can't discriminate on any of these things.
A belief. Belief is protected.
Yeah, but belief...
Belief is religious.
Yeah, but they don't include ideology in that, do they?
Yeah, only religious belief.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, ideological belief is the only remaining aspect of a person that you can discriminate against now. So, yes. I think that socialists should be banned from holding any form of public office.
You know, I was watching a...
And there's no reason the Conservatives can't do that.
I was watching a clip earlier. I think No One's Bro posted. Mm-hmm. And I'm not getting into the Israel-Palestine debate, but it was Israelis being interviewed and like a cut-up of them saying the worst things. One of it was this guy said, I feel like we should have the right to hate. I was just like, okay, I mean, obviously like it looks bad in the context there, but I'm just thinking like, well, what? Like, how can you not have the right to hate?
We don't have the right to hate in the UK.
But that's absurd. Like, you must have the right to hate as a free human being, surely.
No, you're not free.
Okay. In a world that is free.
In a world that is free, you would be free to hate.
But I've just never thought about that question. It's just, yeah. Anyway.
But the thing is, yeah, but that's the point. The socialists believe that they can end hate by simply abolishing it. It's not going to happen. It's ridiculous. Sense. As an American, I always thought Nicola Sturgeon was a man named Nicola Sturgeon. I had no idea. Yeah, well, I mean, Nicola Sturgeon's had a long and storied career as a TV actress before she went into politics. only Vicky got
I have
that.
No idea what she did. What, was she in adult movies or something?
Just Google the word crankies.
Okay. Oh, I know what you mean.
The Sikh Muslim is the rarest of all minorities, says Matthew. Yeah, it's like a special Pokemon, isn't it?
Sikh Muslim Scott as well.
Yeah, Sikh Muslim Scott. But the thing is, the power level of that Pokemon, man. Like, what argument can't it win?
Like the Christian Muslim Russians.
Yeah. Alex says, Stratford, a town in southern Ontario, has a great tradition of performing Shakespeare's plays. Last night they streamed a performance of Macbeth. I was struck by how Shakespeare had Lady Macbeth presage feminism with her ambitions and attitude. Particularly, and this will suit Carl and his empty egg carton analogy, it's not mine, I just think it's funny, when she calls on infernal powers to render her barren, so nothing could get in the way of her schemes, and then she can use her sex to help achieve them. I recommend all fellow load seaters and find a performance of the play, and in the words of Insectionists, look at it through a critical feminist lens. Tyler says, aha, Keto Sharia has returned. Oh, yes. But dating is absolutely abysmal at the moment. It has been my entire adult life. What can we do to fight back? Not like we can just chat up a girl in the pub anymore. Yeah, I mean, is it actually legal for people to have sex in the UK again?
I don't think yet.
We're nearly at the point
where
you're...
I think you've got a 69 or something, because then the face is...
Yeah, you're nearly at the point where you're allowed to hug, right? Are we allowed to hug?
I don't know.
Did the government allow us to hug? On Monday we're allowed to hug. Right. Don't hug anyone yet. The government will permit it on Monday, okay?
Keep it to yourselves.
Yeah.
Also, just the whole Keto Sharia thing, like people of the book. I mean, am I like the people of the pastry book over here?
No, you're like the idolaters. The idolaters of bread.
Who's the people of the book then?
Well, the vegans, probably.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, tolerate them, but...
Well, no, sorry, the carnivals, the Jordan Peterson types. Oh. They're the people of the book. And you're the... bread, the carb idolaters. It's disgusting. And there will be a jihad. Israel says, guys, I'm starting to think we don't need them anymore. We need women. We never needed feminists because they're insufferable wenches. That's true. A real woman likes a man's brutally masculine opinions because it shows you have a set of stones or respectable quality. Yeah, this is something, again, like, just young men, right? Don't be afraid of being masculine, even if there are people telling you that it's bad. There are going to be lots of more women who respond positively to it, even if they don't like it because they're feminists and they've brainwashed themselves into thinking they should hate it. They still get into it. So take it seriously.
Anyway, on that note, we're going to end.
There are loads of these great comments. I've been off for a week or two, and I missed going through the comments. There's a great one by Kelly here as well.
Go for it. Go for Kelly.
All right. Kelly says, feminism has turned dating into an absolute S show. I've been on too many dates with wimpy boys who are afraid to have a personality in case they offend my oh-so-fragile lady parts. What was I saying, guys? I bumped into a Facebook video a while ago where two trans women were discussing charging people for using degrading language during sex without consent. What would this do to dating? On the first date, I'm like, sorry, if you're not willing to slap me and call me names, I'm not interested. I'm telling you. Be a man. Women like it.
God, imagine that world. Like Brave New World there, except you have to go on a date to be like, hey, you need to be able to beat me.
If you're not willing to slap me and call me names, I'm not interested, Cal.
Anyway, on that bombshell, let's end the show. So, loads of content at lotusseeders.com. Go in and sign up there if you want to support the show or get access to the premium content. As I said, we're hiring for video content creators and editors.
Producers.
So, if you want to work here, go and check out the careers page. And also, caveat is you have to work in the office in Swindon. I didn't say Swindon last time. But Otherwise, we're going to end the show. We'll see you again on Monday, 1 o'clock. And you will be on holiday for that day, but you'll be back Tuesday. Thank you. Goodbye.